The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Happy Star Wars Day and welcome back to the Brightside Chat. This is issue number 81, and for Star Wars Day, we're going to go over John's Star Wars collection. I've posted all the pictures on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, but Instagram crops them so badly, they're not as good. So the best places to see the full pictures is Twitter and Facebook. And the pictures are numbered, and we go through the numbers as we talk about them. You don't necessarily need to see the pictures, but it definitely helps because this collection is really, really nice. And it was a lot of fun talking to John about it and everything that went into it, how many collections he's had. It was a lot of fun. So let's get into the store and celebrate Star Wars Day. Hey, Self-Discipline Amplifier, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm
hey, DJ,
really good.
Issue 81, how are you? You don't ever have a cool name down there that I can come back with, so.
No, because I'm the one that has to put this all together, so I label it so I know what file is what, and I just have to, and it's funny because if I wait too long before I start doing files, I've actually done this and put my audio with the wrong day for your audio, because yours are always some made-up name that the program just does. At least I think the program's coming up with these because self-discipline amplifier. I don't know. You couldn't even make that up.
No, I couldn't. I could not because half of the time these are words I don't even know. Like, right. I mean, I know what these words are, but I wouldn't ever think to put them together.
Yeah. Self-discipline amplifier. What's like,
but see, yours are practical and boring. Mine are, you know, I get self-disciplined amplifier. So.
Yeah, because, you know, there's all these amplifiers out there that aren't self-disciplined.
Exactly.
They're just
out there running willy-nilly.
You're right. You know? Like amplifying stuff that doesn't need to be amplified.
Right. Just pumping up the volume.
What's next week? Like
pumping
cranky
up the
refrigerator?
Jam. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So Last week, we had a couple of nice covers that I did do my research, John, since we talked last week. And you talked about, let me see. One of the ones you talked about was a cover for, Suicide Squad, Jeremy Roberts cover.
Yes.
It is really nice.
Yes, I like it.
Batman, Harley Quinn. Yeah. Harley's looking good.
Yeah. Well, like Deadshot up in the corner, right?
Yeah, that's in
the top center of the book.
Yeah, so. He's actually more prominent than Harley and Batman, really.
Yeah.
Just got a giant head.
Yeah.
Giant Ocean Master. yeah, it's pretty good. And then the other one was the Grimm Fairy Tales, and I see why you like that one.
Yeah. You know.
Cover by Hedwin Zaldivier?
Sure. Not going to argue.
Zaldivier. The cover actually looks like it was drawn by somebody named Zaldivier.
Yeah.
Very mystical type of name. But yeah, that's a really nice cover. Very, very colorful and very enjoyable to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm all about the Zenoscope covers.
Yeah, yeah. Zenoscope has some nice covers.
Yeah.
How did your first weekend go? Open?
Didn't we do this last week?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know you don't know.
I'm assuming it went okay.
I love doing that too.
I know
you get
do.
So aggravated.
Well, I'm not aggravated, but like I don't have any way to answer that truthfully. So.
I know it's funny because when we ended the last show, I actually stopped myself. I wanted to say like, hey, you know, tweet at us the stuff that you liked about Star Wars and we'll talk about it. in the next, if you tweet at us five, in the next 5 right, minutes, you, which you haven't actually, heard this
you,
yet.
Yeah, if you tweet before you've even heard the show, if you anticipate the question and tweet us in advance.
Right. I wish we could do that, but we can't. Yeah. It's just scheduling. Real, it's tough.
We're not real time. So.
Yeah, so unfortunately, so a little peek behind the curtain. These two shows are recorded back to back. That's why all the information comes to you on Thursday from all the shows.
Right.
But hey, it is what it is. We do what we do, but we're having fun. So this week, yes, we are talking Star Wars. Happy Star Wars Day. May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. May the Fourth be with you. So let's start it off with a question I saw on Twitter. I want to actually give credit to the tweet that I saw last week. It was Cassand Lightning Bolt Ra at D-Y-K-E-U-L-E-S, Dykules? I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, here was the question, and I pose this to you. What's your favorite lightsaber fight in the Star Wars saga?
Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Maul.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I would say that was probably my favorite up until the Ahsoka and
up
Maul.
Until, this last week. Yeah, I still, I mean, that was great. We talked about it on the other show, obviously, last week, and it was a great battle. But something about that showdown, like the first time we get to see Maul, like, cutting loose and, you know,
that was the first time we really saw Maul.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that whole thing with from The Phantom Menace was a great scene. It really is the only thing in that movie worth watching. You know, just those scenes where they're, you know, they get separated by the glass and, you know, he just like a caged animal pacing, waiting to pounce. And the tension and the whole thing of that scene, I think is, to me, it's the best one in the whole saga.
Well, like I said, it's my second best now, but it shows so many things. It shows the difference between, you know, dark side and the light side, the patience versus the anger that, you know, if you're on the dark side, like Maul is there, he's just like dying to get at it. He's not patient. He's not calm. And it's like when those electric walls go up, you see Qui-Gon just stops everything.
He just meditates, calms down, and stops. And
so that whole dichotomy that you have going there. And then when they actually fight, getting to the actual battle, I think one of the reasons it's the favorites, and this is going to sound silly, but it's the first real lightsaber battle we've ever seen. Because in the previous ones, they didn't have the technology to have a legit fast lightsaber battle.
Yeah, the Jedi battle with Luke and Vader was pretty good for the time. And, you know,
time.
Definitely progressed.
Exactly.
You know, you could see it progress through those original trilogy movies. But, yeah, then we got to this one. And, you know, it's taken for granted now. But, you know, the double lightsaber, it's like we had never – we're like, lightsabers can't do that.
Like, yeah, what's like when going he on lit here? Up that other end.
You're like, what?
What? Exactly.
So, like I said, it's so commonplace now because we've seen it for 30 years. But when we saw that – the first time in Phantom Menace, I don't remember if we had seen that in any of the trailers leading up to it. I don't remember.
I don't either.
If we had seen it, whatever the first time we saw it was like mind blowing. You know, it's like, I can't believe they, you know, they did that. You know, it's
right.
Awesome.
That's a great point that I honestly haven't even thought of watching the movie because like obviously, if you listen to this podcast for any length of time, you know my favorite lightsaber lighting, my favorite scene. I'll never forget that. But maybe because I'm older, but I don't distinctly remember that moment when he lit the other end of that lightsaber.
Yeah.
But you're right. I do remember it being when we found that out, we were like, wow, okay. Yeah. And it kind of makes me want to run back and watch that movie and see where it is. But you're right. It is. It's like that was
well,
a big moment.
Well, it happens in the hangar.
Us.
Like the first time we see it, I think, is in the hangar when
okay,
it's before, kind of like when the battle is about to start. But they're in the hangar, and like Maul kind of backs out, and they chase him in, you know, kind of chase him
down. I say that there's even like the music, the score actually does, like when it lights, it goes, what? The music actually like has a point, like a climax to it where you're like the big reveal, and it was a big reveal.
Yeah, it was.
Not only that, think of the movie though itself, Darth Maul. That's the only other Darth we had ever seen.
At that time. Yes. Yeah. You know, now there's many of them throughout the canon, throughout the books and things like that. But at that time, that was I don't remember any of those books being as prevalent or any of those characters being talked about prior to that. So, I mean, they didn't even call the Emperor Darth, you know.
No.
Back then, you know, because they didn't introduce the Darth. Well, we heard Darth. No, we heard he said Lord Sidious. Because right at the very beginning of that movie, Gunray calls him Lord Sidious, but he doesn't call him Darth Sidious. So, because I was going to say, did we hear Darth Sidious before that? But he called him Lord Sidious. So,
now in the movies themselves, did we even know that like Darth was a term?
Well, I don't think until we got Darth Maul. And then we were like, oh, well, this is like a title. It's not just a name.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh. That's what I was going to say, because maybe it was in books before that.
It might have been, but I don't remember reading any of them back then.
Yeah.
Before this came out. I read them afterwards, but I'd have to go look at the timelines of when the books were written to see if it was done first or not. To my recollection, that was only the second time we'd ever heard that term.
Yeah, which is kind of fun to think about. It's like you were saying it about the lightsaber, but think of that whole, the Darth lore that was back created. And we had how many years, 20, 30 years of paying, you know, and then you find out that, oh, Darth is a title.
Right.
It's not his name. And that's pretty cool. So another question, if you could own any lightsaber from any movie, which one would you want to own?
Well, I mean, without the baggage that comes with it, because, I mean, I don't want to be a Sith, but...
Oh, no,
But
no.
Maul's like saber, right? I mean, that's the... You gotta have the double blades, right? You know, like the hilt, you know, like Obi-Wan, or I mean, Luke's original, I guess, Anakin's saber.
Anakin's original, yeah.
You know, which is, you know, you'd want that for the history, I guess. Yeah. But, I mean, if I was actually going to have a lightsaber, I want that double-bladed saber, you know?
Yeah.
So, I just don't want to be a Sith Lord, you know. Although, you know, it depends on the day, really.
you are a self-disciplined amplifier this week, so you're good. You're good to go.
What is the dark side? Anger, fear, and aggression? I mean, okay. Yeah. Check. So...
Yeah, I would definitely be taking Anakin's the first one. I don't even own, like, we're going to get to your collection soon, but I don't even own a single lightsaber. Yeah. I have, like, Joe has, I won't put out any of my stuff. My collection's tiny compared to yours. We'll get to it a little bit, but the only lightsaber I have is a Lego lightsaber that Joe put together, and it's Anakin/Luke's.
Right.
And I love that lightsaber. And I actually looked into one of the cons I was at, I looked into buying like the real like replica type thing. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of expensive.
Yeah. Well, these that I have, you know, when we talk about them. But yeah, they're, $160, $180 bucks a piece or something like that.
Yeah. So these are ones that like, well, we'll talk about yours, but the ones I was looking at were like $300-$500 because they were like movie like replicas, and you can screw in the blade part if you want, but you can display it different ways. But so, all right, you want to just get to your collection?
Sure.
I don't have a trailer to go with it.
Yeah, I say I don't know what the, I really don't know what the schedule for this show is, so whatever you want
it's
to talk
Star
about.
It's Star Wars Day, man. Say, we can do whatever, man.
Whatever you want to talk about.
So I mean, let's go.
It's hard to talk about anything Star Wars that we haven't really beaten to death over the last couple of months, so I guess we haven't really talked about my collection.
Right. This is the most planning I think we've ever done for a show. I asked you to send me some photos the other day. I said, hey, can you send me some pictures of your collection and we'll talk about that? And it was like 10 seconds later. Poof.
Well, because I have an album on my phone.
I know.
Called John Star Wars Collection. And I basically just hit send.
Yeah. And now I have an album on my phone that I labeled the exact same thing.
Yeah. The pictures are not, like I said, they're, even though as looking now, I notice other pieces that are in there that aren't in some of the pictures. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, I don't need to have every single piece that I own cataloged in these pictures. But, you know, because
Star Wars Day, you do.
Yeah. I take them periodically, but I add, you know, I'm constantly adding little things here and there. So,
all right. We have all your pictures here. We will go through them. They'll have a number when we'll say next one, we'll have a number. So when I tweet out all these pictures, you listeners at home, you can find the pictures that we're talking about. You know, we'll kind of go through it like that and John can talk. We'll just talk about the different things that are in those pictures as we go along for our Star Wars Day. So you ready to get to this, John?
I am ready to get to it.
Picture number one.
All right. So I guess I'll preface this by saying that I'm primarily a vintage Star Wars collector. Vintage means pieces that came out between 1977 and 1983. You know, there was another wave of merchandise that hit in the 90s when, you know, the new movie started coming out and there was a resurgence. And obviously then now there still continues to be merchandise. But I say that because this first picture we're looking at is kind of my modern stuff.
Yeah, you got laser discs in there.
Yeah, so the focus of this picture was actually just the saber, because I have the saber mounted on the wall, and I wanted
that mount.
To have
That's
it.
Cool.
Yeah, I wanted to have it lit up on the wall, and when we get to the second picture, you'll see the opposite on the other side. But this is Luke's saber, obviously, and this is you know, they're from Master Replicas. So they're pretty cool. You know, they light up when you move them around. They make the buzzing sound.
Yep.
So, and you are supposed to be able to, like, the blades are supposed to be strong enough that you are supposed to be able to kind of have mock battles with these things and have them not break or, but I don't do that.
No.
So anyways, we'll get into what's in these cases a little bit as we go through the pictures, but The main focus of this was just the saber. And then obviously on over to picture number two is the opposite. That's Darth Vader's saber. And it's the same, you know, the same company that made that. And yep. These cases over here are the vintage
so,
cases.
Quick question. The mounts you have for those, uh-huh. Are those specifically for sabers or did you like use a special cup holder or something?
No, if you go to Amazon, you can find lightsaber wall mounts, and that's
awesome.
Exactly what I typed in, and that's what they are, and they're actually really cool because like they have that little kind of cup at the bottom, and then you like halfway up the wall, you screw just a little clamp that the blade snaps into.
Oh, okay.
So they're up there. They're not going anywhere. But yeah, they were really cool, and they're like $6. So.
Have you ever heard, here's a question for you. Have you ever heard of being able to, I don't know, wire those so they can power on and power off with lights? Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I'm not sure how you would do this. Like my showcases are all lit with LED lights and they work off of Alexa. So I can turn them on and off with Alexa. I would love to be able to have the sabers somehow connected, but they're battery operated, so I just don't know how you would be able to do it. I mean, I'm sure an electrician could figure it out, but I'm not that guy. But I would love for them to be able to go on and off when I turn on the lights. Because most
I'd hang
of the time,
them in my theater.
Yeah. Most of the time I just have the, you know, when I turn the lights on and off of the showcases, the sabers are never turned on. I mean,
right.
I have them on for these pictures, but I don't manually go over there and turn them on just so I can look at my stuff and then turn them back off
right.
again. Really, I don't even put the lights on in these cases very often because they're – like I have the ability to set them on timers so they could go on every night
right.
and beyond. But I only need them on when I'm in here. I don't need to be burning electricity, you know?
Yeah.
So, and most of the time I'm in here, I have the lights on. So I just sit here and look at it with the lights on. But
yeah, because I'm getting into the whole Philips Hue lights and the little track lighting, and I'm installing it in the back of my theater for all the shelves I have back there.
Right.
And it would be really cool if I could somehow attach like a lightsaber like that to a Philips Hue system. That would be, and then the, like, the lights go on and off and your sabers go on and off.
It would be awesome. Like That'd if there awesome. Was, if you could find one that also had like a, you know, like a plug in, like a battery backup type of thing, then obviously you could just wire the outlet to
right.
go on and off. But most of these don't have adapters that I know of. They're just battery operated. Unfortunately, because it would be awesome to be able to rig that up.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to what's in these cases.
So, all right, so we're gonna move on to the third picture, and that's kind of like the top row of the
first picture.
Yep. So the left side of the case is all set up the same way. I've got the original at the back of the case. I've got the original Star Wars laser disc. So each one of these shelves are set up by movie, basically.
Okay.
So the top shelf there is the Star Wars laser disc. It's a Hamilton collection collector's plate. My sister bought me the set of these things for my birthday.
Wow.
100 years ago. So I have the plate set up. And then the vintage pieces, these are the four original Star Wars Burger King glasses that you got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from Burger King.
I remember that. We had them.
Yeah, I had
them
too.
You still have them.
Yeah. Well, some of these were actually my old ones, but I ended up having to go back and buy some of these.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, very little of this stuff survives from my original childhood collection. Actually, almost none of it does. And then on the right cabinet is just they reissued a 40th anniversary of the Star Wars Black Series, a set of figures on the vintage cards, replicas. So that's what you see on the second shelf. But over there to the right is an R2-D2 from the 1990 Power of the Force collection, but that's signed by Kenny Baker. So
I see that. That's awesome.
I actually had a whole mess of these, and I'm kicking myself now because I sold most of them through the shop, and now I'm wishing I hadn't done that. But I still have the Kenny Baker that I had signed.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. On the top of that is just some modern jank. Really, there's a Mr. Potato Head Darth Vader, and there's a Mickey Mouse
with a lightsaber.
With a lightsaber. Like when Disney first got the license, this was actually sold at Disney in Florida. Somebody went and got that for me.
Cool.
And then over,
he looks
on
like
the
he's
right,
in a Jedi like.
Yeah,
cloak.
He's in Jedi robes.
Yeah.
And then over on the right, there's a Darth Maul. I bought that the night that Phantom Menace came out. After the movie, Toys R Us did a midnight opening to sell the merchandise. And I bought that night. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to the next photo.
Four. Yep.
Is basically the rest of that right cabinet. You know, it's the 40th anniversary figures. That second shelf, though, is the original 79 die-cast Millennium Falcon that I have on a little stand that I bought. But, yeah, that's a vintage piece. And then the next picture is the rest of that set. So, basically, when the Star Wars figures first came out, there was 12 original figures. These are the original 12 figures done in the 40th anniversary. The cards that they're on are the replicas of the original cards from the 70s, but the figures are obviously modern figures that are done. So,
that's awesome.
So like I said, so they're newer. They're not really.
I remember tearing those open.
But oh yeah, me too. By the hundreds, I had so many of them. And then the next photo is the continuation. You've got the Empire Strikes Back shelf. So again, the laser disc, the collector's plate from that movie, and then the four Burger King cups from Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, wow.
And then
that's picture six for following along.
Right.
But yeah.
And then finally underneath that, the last one is the Jedi laser disc, the plate, and the four Jedi
picture seven
Burger King. On the bottom of that is mostly modern stuff, but at the back of that case, that's the original Star Wars soundtrack album.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was the collector's Laserdisc.
No, no, that's the soundtrack album from the original from the original movie. Wow. It's really cool. If you open it up, it's got a little poster and stuff inside, so that's pretty cool. The other stuff is just little modern candy dispensers and turkey.
I was going to say, is that a Pez, are those Pez dispensers?
Well, they have M&Ms at the bottom. They're like those little tubes of M&Ms with Yoda and Vader on the top, but the heads wobble and they talk, so it's kind of
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
And sippy cups.
And Tervis cups, Tervis tumblers.
Yep.
All right, so the next picture, we move on to the other side of the room and we start to get the vintage pieces. So the piece there on the top of the shelf is the original mail away action stand that you got from the when you first ordered these figures.
Yeah.
You ordered what was called an early bird kit, and it came with the instructions on how to mail away for this stand. And it holds the first 12 action figures that were released. So this is that stand with the original 12 figures.
Action figures not included.
Yeah, action figures not included. They have little die, like if you, there's little levers underneath them, and they actually will turn to each other so you can do little lightsaber battles and stuff like that.
I remember the commercial for this.
Yeah. So this is the piece that I never had originally. I've picked it up now, but I didn't have this as a kid. A lot of the, like I mentioned earlier, none of these are my original toys. Like, I lost track of those over the years. This is actually my third jump into collecting these toys.
Do they still spell C-3PO that way?
C, dash. Well,
you see how they spell
it?
Yeah,
well, they did originally. Yeah, it was like S-E-E.
Right.
Because R2-D2 is the same. It's A-R-T-O-O-D-E-T-O.
That I remember.
Yeah.
I honestly don't ever remember seeing C as in S-E-E.
Oh, yeah.
Until now. But I do remember R2 being spelt like that a lot, actually.
Right.
I think even when you read it now, it'll say R2 and it'll just be that.
Yeah.
Not number two.
But yeah, C-3PO was spelled that way. If you look at the original card for the action figure, it, on the little nameplate at the top, it'll say C-3PO, but then underneath it's written out C-3PO.
Well, so, I just went back to the original picture that you had of the original card. It says C-3PO, and then in parentheses, it says C-3PO.
Yeah, so that's that's how they were in the original cards.
Cool.
The next photo is just a couple of ships. I've got the twin pod cloud car and an AT-ST a speeder bike up there.
Picture again, number 9.
Yeah, just some original ships. Little cloud car pilot holding up the canopy there in the cloud car. This next photo is my little recreation of Jabba's dungeon. Everything in here is vintage except for the Slave Leia action figure because they never did that figure.
Would you make it yourself?
No, in the it's from the 90s figure line.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So everything else in here is, like I said, they're vintage pieces. You got the Rancor and a couple of Gamorrean guards and Jabba up on his throne there with Slave Leia.
Who's in the is that supposed to be who's in the
It's Jedi Luke.
Hood.
Yeah, it's a
Jedi Luke?
Yeah, it's Jedi Luke in his robe.
Okay.
And the Rancor Keeper. So, like I said, my little recreation of Jabba's dungeon. The next photo is just a hodgepodge of random things that
photo 11.
I've got the Rebo band set up there at the back of the case. I wanted to get that down in Jabba's, but I couldn't fit it in there. Couple of Tauntauns with Luke and Han, there's a Wampa back there getting ready to knock Luke off his Tauntaun. This little mini rig, the gray thing on the right, was never in any movies. It was a toy. It was just made up for the toy line.
They'll buy it. Just put Star Wars on it.
Yeah, which is exactly what it is. And then if you look closely, you can see my reflection in the glass. So that's the priceless part of that. That's the priceless part of that photo.
That's spooky.
Yeah. All right. So next.
Ooh, I like this. The next one. Yeah, is, the next what's photo this? Is picture 12.
Yeah, so that's Darth Vader's TIE fighter with Vader inside. Now, that's actually since moved to another photo you'll see later. That's a copy of the original Star Wars comic, issue number one, there at the back. And then in the front, there's some of the power. Towards the end of the figure line, when sales were starting to dwindle down, they were trying to boost interest. So they started including these collector's coins with the figures on the cards. So there's a couple of the coins here you nice. See on that shelf. Those are the coins that don't go with, well, I'll explain later. Okay, so this next photo is, this is my prized possession. This is the Star Wars Early Bird kit. For those
Ooh, and
that,
it's picture number 13.
Yeah, for those.
Unlucky 13.
Yeah, that don't know. So Star Wars came out in May of 1977, and it was obviously a monster hit. For those that don't know how merchandising works.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but for those that don't know how merchandising works, there's a lot of lead time in toy development. By the time, you know, Fox and, you know, Kenner and all these people realized what a monster hit they had on their hands, there was no time to get merchandise into the stores in time for Christmas of 1977. Which obviously they wanted to capitalize on.
Crazy.
So they came up with an ingenious idea that would never in a million years work today. They came up with what they called the Early Bird Kit. And what you did is you bought this kit, and it was basically just an envelope for, I think it was like $8, you know, at the time. And all you were buying was basically a piece of paper that promised you that Six months to a year later, they would mail you these four action figures. But it was something that you could give your kids for Christmas that was Star Wars related, and it was merchandise that you could sell. So what you got from this envelope was this kit that you see here. And it was called the Early Bird Kit. And it has the first four figures, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Chewbacca, and R2-D2. It's packaged exactly the way you would have got it. Underneath it is the white box that it was shipped in. The figures are in the plastic tray that they were shipped in. And over to the right are, you know, you got a little pamphlet that gave you some merchandise. And underneath it is the mail away for the action figure stand that we talked about earlier, the 12-figure stand. These things are exceedingly rare to find packaged like I have it packaged. The other part of it is that makes it even more rare is there was two versions of the lightsabers that came out. If you remember from these when you were a kid, like Luke Skywalker had a little lightsaber that slid out from the a track
from his
in his arm. And they had a little
like Wolverine.
Right. They had they had a little saber tip on the end. Yeah. Well, the original design for that saber was that it would the tip would actually extend even further out from the filament.
Yeah. They folded in itself.
Yeah, that was quickly dismissed because they were too fragile and they just weren't feasible. But this is a double telescoping Luke Skywalker. So, again, this is I don't want to throw a dollar amount out there, but this is a pretty expensive piece, one that I never thought I would own in a million years, and it took me a lot of finagling and wheeling and dealing to be able to get this piece. But, yeah, definitely definitely the pride of my collection. So there's that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So as we move into the next photo, you start to see the vintage action figures.
The next photo, 14, looks like the final scene of New Hope.
Yeah. Well, I have these shelves set
up. Big crowd.
I have these shelves set up in waves of how these figures were released. So the first shelf is the Star Wars wave, and it's the original 21 figures. There's some variants in there. You'll see there's two Luke Scott. I mean, there's two Han Solos. And if you look closely, there's two different head sculpts for Han Solo that was used. You'll see a couple of Jawas up there in the cloth robes. But down here on the first shelf, you see a Jawa with his vinyl cape. Again, this is a very early version of the figure. And they quickly went away from the vinyl cape and went to the cloth robes because they thought it was a better value for the money, because you were paying the same amount of money for this figure as you would for one that was twice as tall. To give you the value, right, they went to the cloth cape. So again, these vinyl cape Jawas, very, I don't want to say they're super rare because they're out there, but they're pretty expensive and harder to find. So that's what you see in that picture. The next photo is the Empire Strikes Back shelf.
Picture 15.
Again, this is the whole wave of Empire Strikes Back figures. You'll see a couple of variants in there. There's two versions of Bespin Leia. One of them has the neck is painted to look like a turtleneck, and then the other one you'll see that it's flesh-colored for the for the neck. The Bespin Lukes, you'll see there's a yellow hair and a brown hair. There's a couple of Yodas, one where he has an orange snake, one where he has a brown snake. So, you know, I try to get the different variants when I can. Now, there's a million, like, this is by no means an exhaustive collection of the variants.
Right.
Because there's just so many of them. Like, these figures were mass-produced in multiple factories around the world. So there's little variations in paint colors and different things,
right,
that you see. And you could go crazy and broke trying to collect them all. But this is a complete line of all the figures. Like, this is every figure ever produced and their notable variants. The next photo, again, is the Return of the Jedi shelf.
Picture 16.
Again, you'll see all the figures and some of the variants. There's the Jedi Lukes have, one has a green saber, one has a blue saber. If you see the Endor Hans, if you look at the lapels on the jackets, you'll see one of them is camo and then one of them is plain. So again, just different variations that you see with these figures that were produced. But again, all the Return of the Jedi figures. All right. And then the next picture here, this is what they call the Last 17.
And it's picture 17.
Again, these were the last figures ever produced, and these are the most valuable figures in the entire line because these are the ones that warmed the pegs and nobody bought. These all came with the collector's coins, and they weren't sold any other way. You know, every one of these figures has a coin that goes with it. But there are coins that they produced for other figures. That's why I have some of them collected on the on that other shelf. This shelf here is more valuable than all the other ones put together.
oh, really?
Yeah, because like I said, these are the figures that, like I said, people weren't buying. The one here right in the middle, Yak Face, wasn't even produced in the U.S. It was it was done overseas. So he's a fairly common figure in other markets, but pretty expensive and hard to get here. But that's a full line of the Last 17 figures. And
it's the 17th picture.
Yeah, and they're, it's the Power of the Force collection. So it's not associated necessarily with any movie. These figures could come from any of the three films. So.
Wow. So where do you get those plaques?
I had them custom made. I found a guy on Facebook that did action
etching?
Figure stands, and he did etching for stands. And I sent him basically what I was looking for, and I had him do me one for each movie. And yeah, he just etched the logo onto the stand and then got the Power of the Force logo from one of the action figure cards.
Yeah, because those are beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm looking at those going, wow. I just like to get that Star Wars one, the first one, to
he
put
did a
on
great
my
job.
Back shelf.
Did a great job on those. And they're like awesome. 2 inches by 4 inches, so they're pretty small. Yeah, they're really cool.
Those are nice.
Yep. All right. So we'll move to the next photo, which is
18, which is
the large
big
size.
Dolls?
It's what?
The large dolls?
Yeah, it's the large size action figures. We don't like to call them dolls, you know, because we're boys.
That's why I said it.
This is 10 out of the 12. I am missing currently the Boba Fett and the IG-88.
Currently? What, you had them?
I have owned them in the past.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Oh, I was joking.
Yeah, no, I have owned them in the past. Like I said, this is my third go-around with these collections. I've sold a complete collection of these years ago. It currently resides on my wife's left ring finger. That's my Star Wars collection.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I just got back into this. I put this whole collection together. I got back into this in January of 2019. So in 1 year, I put this whole collection together.
You're talking everything that's in there?
Everything you're looking at, with very few exceptions. Like I said, I mentioned the Darth Maul figure and some of the glasses and the laser discs. But all of these vintage figures, I got a major bug about a year and a half ago to put this collection back together and did a lot of wheeling and dealing to be able to afford this. Because this is, you know, again, I'm not trying to brag because there's people out there with much bigger collections than I do, but this is about a $22,000 collection total that I put together this year. The biggest chunk of that comes from the early bird kit that we talked about earlier, but
right.
But again, these figures are not cheap anymore. But I, you know, I've collected many things over the years, and some of them have appreciated in value, so I was able to just flip collections. I just sold a bunch of stuff that I had and turned it all into Star Wars. So I'm missing those two figures to have the complete line of 12-inch figures. But in this first picture, you've got, you know, Luke, Chewie, Han, and Leia. These are all complete. They have all the accessories. Leia came with the hardest pieces to keep together for her are the little comb and brush that you see on the bottom and in a hairstyling booklet, because you could actually style her hair in different styles with this little comb and brush.
Hours of fun for you.
Hours of fun, yeah. but
and hand cramps.
Of course, she's got the classic Leia buns that she came out of the box with. But I did manage to get the little booklet and the comb and the brush. When I bought this figure, I had to buy this figure in three different stages because I bought the figure and then I had to go find the comb and then I had to go find the mirror.
Look at the pictures on the book.
It
looks more like a Marie Osmond
booklet. Yeah.
Than it does a Princess Leia.
Well, and these were repurposed.
Carrie Fisher didn't want to sit for the photos.
Like some of these were like the mirror. You can find in other dolls from the time. Like, there was other dolls that Kenner was putting out that had this same mirror and comb in it. So, yeah, obviously they repurposed a lot of these things. Han, the hardest thing to find is that metal that's around his neck. That's always missing. And
Chewie doesn't have one, so.
Yeah, Chewie doesn't have one. If I could find another metal, I'd buy it and put it on Chewie's neck. But And then the next picture is the rest of the line. You know, you've got R2, 3PO. Yeah, I mean, you guys know, if you're looking at it, you know who they are.
And it's picture 19.
Like I said, it's missing Boba Fett and IG-88. Obviously, the two most expensive ones, you know, haven't been able to put them together yet.
Now, how tall are these?
These are...
Because it looks like they all have...
Well, they all have different heights. It's called the 12-inch line, and I think the majority of the figures are 12 inches, but Vader is like
Chewie
14.
Are a taller.
Yeah, Vader and Chewie and IG-88 are like 14, 15 inches. And then R2 and the Jawa are, eight inches or so. But yeah, they all vary in height a little bit, but it's a 12-inch line. Not least, but the next photo is just
photo
what I look at when I'm podcasting. These are not
me.
Vintage
I'm
posters.
I'm in your collection. Down in the bottom corner, you can see me.
These are not vintage posters at all. They're just posters that I sell in my store.
I think I'm considered vintage.
Yeah,
now.
But there's DJ. You've got my Diet Coke there, down there in the picture. My little pop collection that I look at on the table. I'm not a pop collector, but I collect random eclectic pops. Then the next two photos are basically
21,
play
22.
Sets. I've got the Death Star playset. You see the Vader's TIE Fighter again, an X-Wing there. On this little stand, because I'm out of glass cases. I need to buy some more. And then inside the Death Star,
That's the same table I have right next to me right now.
Yeah. I've got it set up with a couple of little figures. The Death Star is complete. There's a couple of pieces, like the blue rope that hangs on the bottom that Luke's supposed to swing from is always missing. But I've got that. And the trash monster is in the little trash compactor down there. You can't see it. But that's missing a lot of times, too. So, but yeah.
That's
and then
cool.
A couple of little extra figures that I have hanging out in there. And that's it for, you know, most of my collection. I do have some autograph photos that aren't hanging. They're just in the closet right now. It's ever evolving. I'm always training. I haven't added anything to it in at least three months or more. 'Cause
that's quite the collection.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my wife was kind of like, it just all showed up, you know, because like I said, I put it together very quickly.
Yeah. Well, before she can decide, before she can react.
Yeah. Well, I told her I was going to do it. And like I said, I've collected various things over the years. Most of them funded this, you know, I sold my comic books. I decided I was going to go all in on one thing. And the one thing for me is always going to be Star Wars. So, you know, it's funny to be a 50-year-old man, you know, collecting toys, but these things bring me a ton of joy. You know, like, it brings back my childhood. When I look at these figures, I come in and look at them, and like I said, it brings me a lot. It brings me back to a happy time being a kid. So,
well, your dad was a collector, wasn't he?
He was a collector of different things. My dad and I collected comics together when I was a kid, but he collected various things. Like, him and my stepmother collected Hummel figurines and different things. And he was into baseball cards. I was never really into baseball cards, but dad was. So I got the collector gene from him. For me as a kid, you know, these toys were for playing. They weren't really for collecting. But I still always had to have them all. You know, I've always been a completist. And,
right.
You know, I want to have everything. And, you know, again, Star Wars is so exhaustive. I'll never own everything. But, you know, when I try to put these collections together, I try to, you know, every figure has its original weapon, a correct weapon. Like, every one of them's complete the way it came out of the off the package when, you know, when they were new. So, like, if I buy something, I want it to be, you know, I want it to be complete and be the way it's supposed to be. So, I'm pretty discerning with these figures. Like, I bought multiple lots of figures and took the best ones out of each one and sold off the rest. Like, I did a lot of flipping and selling and finagling to put this stuff together.
For this collection?
Yeah, for this collection. I would buy big lots of, you know, 60 figures that I only needed 10 of. And, you know, I would get those 10 and then I sold the other 50 and, you know, use that money to buy the next piece.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, like I said, very, very little actual money went into this as far as like out of my pocket.
Out of pocket,
but
right.
A lot of money went into it. Like I said, it was just a lot of moving collectibles over the years. You know, a lot of Magic the Gathering cards. I've been playing Magic the Gathering since 1993. Some of those cards are worth a lot of money. And so I started flipping some pretty expensive cards to fund. That's why most of that early bird kit came from Magic the Gathering cards.
That's pretty good that you can, I mean...
Yeah, like I said, I would not have been able to spend $22,000 in the last year and a half putting this collection together. I'm not made of that kind of money. I didn't hit the lotto. but I've collected always over the years, and I just decided that basically what happened is about a year and a half ago, I came across a small collection at the store that somebody brought in, and it just ignited that bug for me again.
Yeah.
And, I
could see how that would happen.
Yeah, made a decision that I was going to divest myself of my other collectibles and put them all into one focus, and that's what I started to do. And like I said, I'm by no means done, but I'm out of stuff to sell. So anything I buy now is going to have to be
you're
funded.
Buying.
Yeah, I'm going to have to buy. I do have some Magic cards that I haven't sold, but they're like my retirement fund, and I'm not looking to get rid of those yet. Most everything else I have to flip or sell is gone. So any pieces that I want going forward, I have to fund myself. And I'm at the point with these vintage collectibles now where anything that I want is higher price point. So I can't just run out and run out and pick them up, especially during the quarantine. So,
yeah, now's not the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, now is the time to buy. If you're a buyer, now's the time to buy because people are selling. I've seen more things come up in the sale groups that I've never ever seen before at pretty reasonable prices, I would consider, but I can't afford to buy them right now because I don't have any money.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
But that's why people are selling, you know. So now's the time. If you got the money, you can pick up some. And that goes with anything. Comics. I've seen a lot of comics come up for sale. Because people are trying to put money together. So if you're sitting on a stack of cash, now's the time to buy whatever you're into.
So what's the next what's the next big piece? Oh, what could rival like that?
Well, there's other pieces.
The early bird one?
Well, so I would love to get the companion piece to that early bird kit, which is the envelope, the sealed store envelope that you bought at the actual kit. Those things are not as expensive as the early bird kit, but they're not cheap either. And finding them sealed is tough because a lot of them have been opened. You know, you'll see the envelopes were opened. And they might have all the contents, but people have tore open the envelope to look at the inside. So finding these things surviving complete is tougher. But that would be the next big piece I'd like to put together. The double telescoping Luke Skywalker that I had. There's also a Vader and an Obi-Wan. And those are, again, very pricey. Way more than the Luke. There's a lot more of the Lukes out there because of these kits. The Vader and Obi-Wan were just on the very early versions of the cards, and then they were quickly cycled through. So they're very expensive and hard to get. So I'd like to put those pieces together. I don't know. Don't know when or if I'll ever be able to. And I'd love to put together a collection of carded figures. But again, you know, you're not talking. And they're not hard. You would think that there wouldn't be that many of them, but there are. Like, these figures were produced in astronomical numbers. Like, if you haven't watched The Toys That Made Us about Star Wars, I mean, they made these things in the millions. So if you want it, it's out there. You can get it. It's just, you know, you got to put down some money for it. So it's not hard to find carded figures. There, you know, there's millions of them still out there, but they come with a price tag. But yeah, that would be my next focus. That's what I'd like to start working on next. But, you know, they're going to come one at a time and very slowly. So hopefully I've got years ahead of me to do this, but we'll see.
Hey, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, I envy you being able to sell the stuff that you had because I have baseball cards upstairs from the 80s into the 90s that I'm sure are worth some money, but I have to go and find them.
You have to find them and, you know.
And do the work.
And do the work. And there's, unfortunately, the market fell out of baseball cards a little bit. You know, rare cards are still going to have value, but, you know, baseball cards went through the same thing in the 90s like comic books did. And, you know.
I probably don't have anything that's super valuable, but I have a crapload of things. And
ton.
I put them. Where I would get my money is being like, I just sold, like, even, like, hockey cards. Like, I just sold, like, you know, 20 Jaromir Jagr rookie cards for $20 each.
Right.
It's like, you know, something like that. It's like I have a ton of complete sets from back then. And, you know, but that was also the time when everybody started collecting.
Exactly.
So those things, they're not as valuable, but you can find, you know, you can get a little bit of money for stuff.
Most of what I sold was Magic the Gathering. Like I said, I've been playing that game for 25 years. I have tons of cards. Some of them from that time period are pretty valuable. So that's mostly what I turned in, you know, mostly what I sold to buy these Star Wars and my comics. You know, I started selling my personal comics out of the shop and I funded some of this with comics and, you know, I had some different things, but the only thing that was really worth a significant amount of money were Magic the Gathering cards. So luckily I had a lot of them and I had some old ones that I was able to, like I said, I was able to work into these figures.
So that's why I didn't get to see this collection when I was down.
Yeah, like I said,
that was my question for you.
I literally started.
Like, why didn't I see this?
About, you were here in September of that year, and like 4 months later is when I started.
It was August. Yeah, I was there in August of that year.
So that January, right after Christmas, is when I started this, and I've done that in a year, basically a year and 4 months.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I had no idea that could even be done in that amount of time.
Well, again, you can do anything.
It is a lot of work, too.
It was a lot of work, and you can buy anything if you have the money to do it. Like I said, these things aren't hard to find. I just joined a bunch of Facebook groups, and I put it out there that I wanted to buy a complete collection of figures. And I put my specifications. I said, I want complete. I want, you know, close to mint condition. I just said, this is what I want. And I waited for people to show me what they had. And, you know, when they showed me what they had and this is how much it is, I said, okay, I'll go sell this and I'll buy this and I'll do this and this. And like I said, you can put it together pretty quickly. I mean, I've had these things set up for at least 6 months. So, I mean, really did the bulk of this in about 3 months.
In like a year.
Yeah. By January, I started. By May or June, I was done with most of this stuff, you know.
Wow.
And then I started adding small pieces. But again, I just went whole hog and just bought complete groups all at once. I wasn't interested in doing it one, like when I did it the, back in the 90s, I did this. I did it one figure at a time because the internet didn't exist. I went to shows. I bought figures. Oh, yeah. You know, I did a lot of legwork. And then, like I said, I put it around my wife's finger. So, which I don't regret. Honestly, I don't regret it.
No.
But over the years, no, I've always had that little pang. I've always had that little pang of wanting to get back into this. But it was prohibitive. Like, it was cost prohibitive to do it. You know, it just was expensive to get back into this thing. And then,
but it's funny.
Luckily, my stuff that I did have appreciated in value over the years enough that I was able to kind of do some one for one, you know, some one for one trading. But, like I said, over the years, I'd always kind of, you know, had a little twinges of wanting to get back, you know, wanting to get back into it, but wasn't really able to when my kids were young and, you know, I had way more important things to deal with than collecting toys.
Right.
And the cards weren't necessarily a collection. I mean, I played the game, so it wasn't like I was buying those as an investment. I just put a collection together because I liked to play. And I got lucky enough that I was in early enough that some of these were pretty valuable now.
But it's funny, you started off saying like, oh, well, this whole collection, it's funny for, you know, 50-year-old man to have this collection, but this is, it's an investment.
Well, it is also that.
It's an adult hobby because this is an investment. And like you said, you've had this in the past and you turned it over into an engagement ring. Yeah.
Well, in this
That's an adult thing. I mean, and you can do something like that with this. It's like, it's no different than having a nice car.
These things outpace the stock market with few exceptions. Oh, really? You know, I mean, you know, there's Google and, you know, I mean, there's heavy stocks out there that are worth a lot of money. But these things appreciate at a steadier rate and yearly more than the stock market does.
Most stocks,
So it is an investment, and I do look at it that way. I don't plan to sell them. Like, I hope to die with all of these figures.
Right, but they're priceless now.
But, you know, for my kids, you know, they're already, they already kind of fight over them. You know, like, well, I'm going to get this when you're dead, you know, kind of thing. But, and, you know, like I said, it is, like I made a joke a little while ago about I have some Magic cards that are part of my retirement fund, but I'm very serious about that. Like, I've got a stack of cards in my gun case that are very, very valuable, and I plan to use to subsidize my living when
you hear that, everybody? To get at them, you've got to get to the gun. Guess who's getting what first?
Exactly, right. That's why they're in there. That early bird kit needs to be in there too, honestly, but definitely, it is definitely an investment. But I, you know, for me, like you said, they're priceless. You know, I let go of them once before. I won't do it again. Like, I'll have these, hopefully. Things will have to go very bad in my life for me to sell them again.
Yeah, it's funny. That was like I said, you sent me these pictures days ago, but that was my question to you. Like, why didn't I get to see this when I was down there? Yeah. Like, of all the things you showed me in your house, it's like, and you showed me the sabers.
Yeah, because I had, well,
I remember you bringing me into
the saber. I don't think I had the Vader saber at the time when you were here.
Maybe not. I remember you bringing me back. You had a nice walk-in closet with a ton of comic books in it.
Yeah.
Now, are those gone?
They're gone.
Those are the comic books that are gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
So, yeah, you had a ton of long boxes back there.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think I'll get back into comics again. We mentioned it, we were talking about it on Thursday's show, because I sold my collection. So, I'm not at a point where I want to start putting that back together again. So, it's like, I'm not going to go back to buying weekly. You know, if I ever didn't have my store and had to go back to buying weekly comics, I just don't know that I would, because I made the decision that my passion was going to be these Star Wars figures, and I don't make enough money to collect Star Wars.
So we're
going
to have to go to a Star Wars collectibles podcast if you lose the store.
Exactly. Exactly. Unfortunately, I just went through everything that I know about these things, and hopefully it wasn't super boring for anybody listening, because if you don't care about these toys, this wasn't the show for you.
Hey, it's Star Wars day. It's like, I mean, I'm sure we've talked about movies people don't care about.
That's true.
Don't tune in, but.
They're exciting to me. So,
yeah, no, it's funny because it you guys can't see this, the listeners can't see this, but I'm watching you. You're looking at these.
Oh, I do all
the
time.
Entire time. I know.
Every time I'm in here, like, I sit here, I stare at them, because, like, well, and I'm doing it more now because we're talking about them,
right?
But But yeah, like I said, this brings me a lot of happiness to come in this room and sit here.
And I'm here too.
And you're here too. every day when I come home.
But you're not looking at me as much.
Every day when I come home, even if I don't have anything to do on the computer, I'll come in and turn the light on for a few minutes and look around, and then I'll turn the light off and walk out.
Yeah.
You know?
But, well, I do that with the back of my theater, and I'll go in and just stand there because I put in the new lights, and I've only got three LEDs set up right now, but I've got, and I just like to look at my stuff. And
exactly.
Like,
you just like to
look at
it.
One of my prize collections, and it's not even valuable or anything, but I always wanted that, the Terminator arm.
Yeah.
And I got it, and I got it through a, in the cheapest possible way for me, I had to buy the Blu-ray, that the 4K Blu-ray collection,
which you were going to buy anyways.
Right. But I had to actually, when the 4K came out, you had to wait for this one.
Oh yeah.
And it was like a few months later, but if you got it, you got that with it, and you paid more. I think it was like $100.
Right.
And I was like, but I remember back in the 90s wanting that, and it was like, you know, almost $1,000. And I didn't have that. I don't have that now.
Yeah.
And it's like, to be able to have that arm at the back of my room, I love that piece. And it's not valuable. It's just something I always wanted.
Right.
So, but yeah, you just sit and stare at these things.
That's what you do. That's what you buy them for. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. That's a great Star Wars Day episode, I think, in my book. And like we said when we started the podcast, if we're the only ones that listen to it.
That's right. Oh, well. I'm okay with it.
I'm looking forward to listening to
this
hopefully again when it comes out
again,
on Monday.
This is kind of like the watch-alongs that we did. Like, if you're listening to this in your car and you don't have the access to look at the pictures if you can't follow along, like, this episode really isn't very compelling. But hopefully if you can sit and look at the pictures while we're going through it, it might be of some interest to you. Like I said, if not, it's kind of like watching those watch-along shows without the show.
Right.
It's just a lot of babbling.
No, it's a lot of babbling. But this, that's what we do.
Right.
It's a Bright Side Chat. We chatting.
Exactly.
That's what we do. All right. Let us know what you thought. What do you guys collect? Let us know on Twitter.
I'd love to see pictures of your collections on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you have anything, I love to see people's collections. I look at toy collections on Facebook all day long, even if they're not Star Wars. I just love to look at people's stuff. So,
well, there's somebody in the nerdy, the guy's from Texas. I forget the name of the 2B2 podcast, I think. It's something like they have somebody in that. One of the guys in that has a huge Star Wars collection.
Yeah.
And I listen to them all the time. I can't remember which guy has it. But they have a huge Star Wars collection, and they're in Texas.
Nice.
So, yeah, I know there's a huge Star Wars collectible place down there, too.
Dallas. There was one here in Houston, but they closed. But there's a place called Order 66 in Dallas.
Yeah,
and
that's
they're
it.
A huge,
that's the one.
They're a huge toy Star Wars collectible store. I was able to go into the one here in Houston before they closed down, and I was able to hold some pieces that I could never afford to buy, but didn't think I'd ever even be able to put my hands on. So I enjoyed just going in there, and they took them out of the glass and let me just put my hands on them. So,
I was in a, of all places, a fireplace store up here. And I was talking about the podcast with an employee about our podcast.
Right.
And he's like, oh, check this out. And he has a card for Order 66 down there.
Yeah.
And he's like, you've got to check this place out. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, because they do.
That's how big that place is.
Well, because they do a lot of online sales. And there's another place that, like, Dallas seems to be the spot. There's not a lot of places around here that I can go source and look for this stuff. But there's also a place called Dallas Vintage Toys that has a huge Star Wars section. But like I said, in Houston, which, you know, Houston's a pretty large city, it's surprising to me that there's not a lot of local places that I can go looking for old Star Wars stuff. But honestly, you don't want to buy them. Like, I don't want to buy anything from Order 66 or Dallas Vintage Toys anyway, because you're paying full retail for that stuff.
Right.
I want to go find it at a flea market or, you know, a garage sale or what have you, or try to buy it from other collectors, you know, because then, you know, you don't necessarily get them for wholesale, but you know, you might save a few bucks.
Because
these, you know, the big stores, I mean, obviously they make their living selling this merchandise every day, and they charge a premium for it. So
right,
but it's nice to go in there and look around. Still, I just don't
dream.
I just don't necessarily want to buy it there.
It's like when my parents took me to Child World.
Exactly,
just dream. So yeah, tweet at us at @brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. And please rate, review, and subscribe. Let us know how we're doing. 5 stars would be great.
Yes, so definitely.
All right. That's it for Star Wars Day for this year.
All right.
Maybe I'll start my collection. And
there
I'll
you
have
go.
One
next year. Because I don't know what we're going to do next year. I'll have to either grow this collection significantly, or we'll have to find something else to talk about.
I don't know, John. Do we ever have trouble talking about Star Wars?
No. Doesn't seem so.
No. And considering how much Star Wars we've done in the last month alone.
I think they're tired of it, but.
And well, no, because most of what we did was on the other show.
That's true.
You know? And then, but we had no trouble talking then. And then we also had, what, November and December was all Star Wars? So maybe by next year on Star Wars Day, we'll actually be able, you know, we won't have been inundated for the last month. So
that's the thing. Yeah. It's been a lot lately.
So, but I thought that this was really good.
I enjoy going through it. I love all your pictures. I love showing it to people and talking to people about it. So yeah, I have a great time sharing it with people. So hopefully you enjoyed it.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
And we will be back. We have no new books coming out this week.
No.
Correct?
No, not for, well, like I said, as of when this comes out, Wednesday. It'll be basically 2 weeks. Yeah.
Right, yeah. For a few more weeks. Yeah. So, but we will be back with our as normal a show as we can have on Thursday.
Well, I'll definitely have FOC, because FOC will go steady now. I mean, it's back, and it's not going to go away. So we'll have that for
and
sure.
And who knows what happens in the news to create stuff in Speculators. Exactly. And maybe, and we'll figure something out for back issue. And I don't know, maybe I'll get another book or two from Scout Comics and
you
know, and then I'll have something to talk about and check out.
Sounds good.
But we'll be back Thursday. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.